So, I don't really want to sit down here and talk to all of y'all. I don't really want to sit down here and talk at all of you. I want to come here and talk with y'all. So, my dad told me that some of the best advice I've ever gotten was that I shouldn't really come and talk about just whatever I think I should talk about. I should talk to whoever I'm speaking to about what God has been laying on my heart. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to share a couple of things with you, and then I'm just going to kind of open it up, start asking questions, and I really want to have interaction with y'all, because I think that's one of the best ways we can learn and really get into the community that God has built us to be entirely centered around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I really want to talk to y'all about is being offended. And how that is a life or death matter. Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of a bit like a extreme sort of stance. Mm-hmm. But hear me out. So what does the Bible say about being offended? Well, it actually mentions it several places. One place I'd like to point out is in Matthew 18, where Jesus says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Mm. Yeah. Mm. Now, how many of you have ever been offended?
Yeah.
I've gotten offended before, I've got to say. Yeah. How many of you have seen somebody get offended?
Yeah.
How many of you have been somebody? Yeah! So this really isn't what we generally consider as offended. The words that Jesus spoke was actually implying a different kind of meaning. What do you think it means to be offended? Now's when we get into the interaction, and y'all can give answers if you want.
To have a problem with someone, to feel bitter towards somebody.
Mm-hmm. What do you think would cause you to be offended?
If they do something you wish they didn't do.
Yeah. Any other ideas? Just shoot them out there.
You can be offended. Well, some people can be offended by the least little.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, some can just brush
it a little loud, it's just decent.
Mm-hmm. Some people can be offended by the least little thing you say.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's true.
And,
that's true.
When some, you know, it doesn't take, you know, quite as much to, you know,
yeah.
I guess maybe offend them. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think if we put something, if we have like made an effort or done something and then someone shoots it down, we're more likely might be sensitive to someone shooting it down, you know, or even if they don't mean to, we get involved in, I've done this, I put this into it.
So this is kind of what we all think of being offended as.
Jesus' version be like, don't offend the little ones. In other words, don't come against the gospel. Mm-hmm. Don't come against Jesus' teachings. Don't stop people from, you know, if you're on TV and you're making a commentary about Christians and such and such and such, and a child hears it, are you offending that child because you're separating him from the truth?
Mm-hmm. Because you're separating them from the truth. That's really good right there. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's really close to what the actual Greek definition of the word there is, because the Strong's definition is to entrap, that is trip up, figuratively stumble or entice to sin. Mm-hmm. So really,
to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So when he says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around his neck and tossed into the sea. Really, like you were saying, for someone to speak untruth and talk evilly about the gospel, for them to be enticed to sinning, to being separated from God.
You know, I've seen that in this world, sometimes people, maybe a young person may want the Holy Spirit, and somebody speak against it, say, you know, Holy Spirit is not, you know, you don't need the Holy Spirit, you know, or you don't need to be saved. Go out and have you some fun. You know, you're still young, you know, and, you know, sow some wild oats, do something, you know. And, you know, instead of, you know, encouraging them, saying, yeah, you need to be saved, you need Jesus. What he told you was true, then, you know.
Right. Man, that's good. That's good. So, go ahead.
So the way people have looked at offenses, you know, in the past, in the natural offenses that we look at, is not quite what Jesus was talking about right there when he said offend. That's good, Steve.
Oh, yeah. So really, when Jesus talks about being offended, I want to clear up that it's not so much talking about, like, oh, well, this person said something mean about me. It's more somebody actually causing someone to stumble in their walk with Christ.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Okay.
And first off, being offended is a life or death matter twofold ways. Mm-hmm. Both the way Jesus talks about it, because if you're stumbling in your walk with Christ, that is the most significant matter in your life, your relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
But even from the way we think about being offended, what do you think kind of impact that can have on your life?
Makes things stop.
Mm-hmm.
Delays.
Yeah.
Delays.
That's good.
And something I noticed with all of your answers about what being offended from our perspective can look like is it's all about us. It's all about the me person who's being offended.
That's good.
But Jesus says that we're to die to ourselves.
Yeah.
Where Paul tells us that we are crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, we live, but it is not I who live, but Christ in me. So I see people getting offended about different things, and I'm like, well, let's take a look at a dead person. People can be sitting in their coffin, someone could get up at their funeral, and someone just utterly badmouth that person laying in the coffin. Is the person going to get up out of the coffin and slap him across the face?
Nope.
No. Do you think the person up in heaven cares what they're telling about him at his funeral? So dead people really can't get offended.
Right. Whoa.
And really, we were crucified with Christ.
Yeah. Come on now.
So anything that we run up against, how is it supposed to offend us?
Mm-hmm.
It's not our lives that are having this attack on us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not us. Mm-hmm. It's him.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Brings a whole new meaning to what would Jesus do? Because,
There's a scripture that's coming in where it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh. That's right.
But you find so many, I mean, people will leave a church because they're offended and go to another church and get offended there and leave there. And I mean, it's so many offended Christians.
Really?
I mean, wounded. When you want a Christian, I mean, offended and wounded, I mean, they just
come out of the woodwork. Really?
And you know, praying in the Spirit is one way that really God uses a weapon to combat being offensive. If you spend a lot of time with His presence and praying in the Spirit, it really don't matter to you if somebody pisses you out.
Yeah.
Well, if you just me, it matters.
If it's all me.
Yeah, it's all me, like you said, when you're dead,
you're
Christ.
Dead, like you said.
Right.
You're not dead. Whoa. Like you said, we died with Christ. And so in the illustration of a dead man, that is awesome. Because it's amazing how God would do things. Because I had issues yesterday about some things. So
So it's amazing if you're dead and you have no feeling about that matter. Like she said, it's about praying in the Spirit. It's about being in the Spirit of Christ, constantly walking in the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, you're dead to all of that. And it's like you don't even, oh, you offended me? And I have a sister who was walking in that. You know, it's like she just shrugs stuff off and I'm like sitting up there, ooh. And she's like, what are you tripping on? So, she's dead. I'm still alive. So.
You're dead, but you're alive unto Christ.
Right.
So when those moments happen to you, I'm sure everybody's had them. Where you're you and you lash out. Or you're just you.
It's just the flesh.
And you just stay quiet, but it's all in here. Mm-hmm. Or then it's when you're so weak, you just lash out. Or but when you're in Christ and you're alive to Christ, you have total joy no matter you be.
Really?
But you know, it's what you said at first, if you're, you know, walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit helps you to get into the Spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you're walking in the flesh, honey, and if somebody, you know, offend you, they're going to know it. Because you're going to tell them, you know. But that's real good. That's real good speaking.
I mean, amazing example I just thought of when Paul was in prison and they were worshiping God.
Yeah.
The chains fell off. They weren't leaving. Ooh. They were staying right where they were in the presence of God.
Yeah, that was more important to them.
Yeah. Because they were dead to themselves.
That was more important to him than getting through.
Well, they had a lot to be offended of. I mean,
right.
They had a right.
I mean, throwing someone in prison, I mean, that's kind of a pretty offensive
especially
thing.
Especially when it's not their fault. They didn't do anything.
They didn't, yeah, right. They didn't do anything.
All they did was good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
but not,
they could have been offended at God. Sometimes we get offended at
God.
Now, I mean, you know, really? It's all right if I get offended at Brother Earl or this one or that. But when you get offended at God,
you got
issues, you got problems. Because, see, they could have got to, now we out here preaching the gospel, and this is what we do, get locked up. And, see, they just weren't locked up in jail, but they were chained down like hardcore criminals. They were in shackles. They were really in the worst of prison. Mm-hmm. But they chose to stay in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Because they were dead to themselves.
That's right.
Whoa.
That's right.
What was happening to them didn't matter.
That's right.
It was all about it was all about what was happening with him.
And people got saved because of it.
They were coming alive
Woo.
In Christ. That's where they were finding their life.
Mm-hmm. They were saying, oh, get us out, help us. How are we going to get out of here? Lord, please get us out. That wasn't even on their mind. Like you said, they were dead. They were alive to God. They were worshiping and enjoying God.
Yeah.
And it said the
look
other,
at the benefits of everything that happened because of that.
And it said the other prisoners hurt them. And that means that the mother prison was changed. I mean, the life was changed when they heard them.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the doors were opened, the story, as the story tells, said the angels opened all the doors, not just Peter and Paul. Mm-hmm. So those other people would have got up and ran out free. But they didn't. Paul said, we all here. So that means that they were changed folks. That.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're not offended and you're dead in Christ, you have a greater witness and a lot greater life.
Whoa.
You're grown and you don't have to
Whoa.
Do as much because God just does it.
Preach
because
it.
You're coming out of you. Because the inside of you is coming out. That's
Preach
good.
It.
Okay.
That's good.
I'm just enjoying listening
I know.
To
when women like to talk.
This is getting good.
Marin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. Stephen, we're getting close.
Okay. I want to share one more thing with y'all, real quick.
Sure.
What do you think death and life is all about? What do you think it means to be dead, for example?
More like the analogy you gave.
Yeah.
To be dead to sin, or dead to offenses, and yet be alive to God.
So the way I understand it is when we're dead, we're separated from something. We talk about dead people as if they're separated. So many of our terminology are the past. They passed away. Mm-hmm. They went on to a better place.
You're dead to sin?
Exactly. Whereas the way God sees it is similarly, But he sees death and life from an entirely different perspective.
Yes, yes.
Okay. He sees it as whether you're separated from him.
Uh-huh.
So he told Adam that on the day you eat of this fruit, you shall die.
Yeah.
Well, he
Whoa.
Didn't physically die.
Yeah.
On that day, he died in that he separated himself
Whoa.
From
right.
God's
Jesus.
Perspective. Separation. That's right.
We're going to have to down on that note.
That's good.
So when we separate ourselves from our perspective
yeah.
and really come alive through his
yeah.
life,
yeah.
that's when we really don't get bothered by so much. That's when we take his perspective, that's when we are not enticed to sin. And that's when we come alive in him.
Perfect. That's good. That's good.
Release
prayer on the
food
and dismiss us.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come
yes.
to you this morning to thank you, Lord God, for this gathering, Lord God, and for the assembly of your saints, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that went forth,
yes.
for the teaching, Heavenly Father, for using this young man,
yes.
Lord God, and we pray strengthen him, Lord God.
Yes.
We pray that you cover him right now, Lord God, and continue, Lord God, to teach, Lord God, and nurture him through thy spirit, Heavenly Father. And today, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, and bless you today on this day, Lord God. We give thanks for the food, Lord God, and we give thanks, Lord God, for life. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.